We're talking with Antonio Flores. Good morning to you, Antonio.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us over at Lawbird. Now, we often discuss interesting situations, but obviously with what's happening at the moment in the Ukraine, there are repercussions as we're seeing embargoes and people not being able to move money around. What's the legal situation faced by Russians?
Okay. Okay, so, you know, the idea on this topic is obviously not to talk about politics. I'm sure you've spoken, you know, enough about it, but about one angle that is going to be affecting Spain and, you know, for the most part, the sort of touristic hotspots, you know, Costa del Sol, Mallorca, Catalonia in a big way because they have a lot of Russian influx. But, you know, the idea is to look at, you know, the position of Russians. What's going to happen tomorrow, you know, next month, next year, with people who want to invest in Spain? Now, I'm just going to give you some pointers, okay, so we can understand where we are. In 2021 or 2021, Spain granted 1,000 golden visas to investors from Russia, okay, and their families. Now, we're looking at about... imagine in terms of millions of euros of investment, because, you know, 500,000 euros is the minimum investment.
Yeah.
Okay. This is out of a total of 8,000 golden visas granted in 2021. Now, the problem here is now for the future going forward is that most of the Russian banks have been disconnected from SWIFT. This means that, you know, there won't be any money coming in and out of Russia. That's going to affect the people who invest in Spain. It's going to affect the people or Russians who actually are living already in Spain. Now, there's more things to it. Imagine, you know, ordinary Russians who are allowed to come to Spain because, you know, the sanctions are only going to be affecting a number of people, you know, Putin and his family, the generals, the oligarchs, and so on. But for the most part, the Russian population will be able to invest abroad. Now, who's going to do that when the ruble has lost 30% of its value? There are going to be capital controls in Russia, so they won't allow people to send money abroad. You know, you're not going to be able to send the money. Of course, SWIFT is now not operative in Russia. Restrictions for carriers, airplanes, they're not going to be traveling. Or people will have to circumvent Europe to get to Spain or to other destinations in Europe. And then you have another problem, which is Spanish banks are going to be reluctant to open bank accounts to Russian citizens, just purely based on PR issues. You know, it's not going to be there are going to be sanctions against Russian normal ordinary Russians, but sanctions are going to be in a way affected. In a sort of indirect way. Yeah. So anyone who's any Russian person who wants to open a bank account, I think is going to have problems. Now this can mean that Russian investors can disappear altogether in the short term, medium term from Spain, which is, I think, very, very serious.
Well, if you think about the large Russian investment we've seen, you know, on the islands, Costa Blanca, of course, up in, you know, Javier Altea as well, Costa del Sol, as you mentioned, and there has been big business and there has been, large scale investment, especially top end property markets. So it's going to have an effect.
Massive effect, you know, but then you have 100,000 Russian people living in Spain. What's going to happen to their bank accounts? Are they going to be able to receive money from Russia? All of this is in the air. You know, I'm sorry for them because I'm sure they're not people who are approving what's going on, and they can't even control anymore what's going on in their country. But so those sanctions could spread indirectly, even if not directly, but indirectly. You know, banks are very much averse to PR situations, and you know we have a president, and we at Lawbird we have a quite a substantial amount of experience in these sort of situations. But we do have a lot of Iranian clients. Now, Iran has been disconnected from SWIFT ever since 2012. You know, they've not been able to send money from Iran. Now, Iran is probably not at the same scale of the international condemnation or commotion as well that this has caused. You know, it's been a minority or minor concern for the Spanish or European authorities, but Iranians have been investing in Spain, but they've had issues, they've had complications to send money, they've had to use third party brokers, they can't really open bank accounts, you know, so they have to use foreign sort of banks, banks that are based on internet banks, effectively, you know. So that, you know, we have had that situation and we still have it. But I think the situation with Russia is going to be much different, as I say, because of the commotion of the scale, unprecedented scale of the international reaction. This never happened to Iran. Iran really never did, apart from a few proxy wars here and there, but they never got to the scale of Russia. Absolutely not. So anyway, this is one concern, and you know, we in our firm, we don't have an awful lot of Russian clients, maybe just a handful, but I know a lot of people, a lot of people's livelihoods are here based on Russian investors and investments. And I'm sorry but that's probably going to die.
And also, as we said before, I mean, the ruble is taking an absolute pounding and the stock market is closed. So, I mean, that is going to have a knock-on effect as well.
That's correct. You know, I mean, one thing we have to understand is that, you know, I mean, the European Union is not going to sanction individuals, ordinary individuals, people who just are normal investors, normal businessmen. There'll be a list drawn up. I think it's already been drawn up in the UK. And I think the European Union is doing another one, which is probably going to be similar to the one in the UK. I know UK's taken an incredibly tough stance on these oligarchs. I think they've had it for too long. They've done anything they wanted in London. They've invested, they've bought and sold massive properties. And Spain has not been the case so much. I think controls here are a bit tighter when it comes to money laundering. But we'll probably see a reaction in Europe for the sort of large capitalists of Russia that are seen to be, you know, connected to the government. Now, this is another doubt I have. You know, the courts in Europe are independent. I don't know to what extent will the court accept an immediate ban on people who are deemed to be connected to Mr. Putin or to the government or you know, supporting the war effort in Ukraine. You need to have evidence. You need to, I'm sure they're going to go to court eventually. They'll get good lawyers and they'll start picking out those lists with sanctioned people because they can't prove that they are connected. What does connection mean? That there's a photograph of you with them, or are you the owner of a company that's supporting the war machine in Russia? In Ukraine, this is going to be another interesting angle, you know. So I think some law firms are going to be getting ready for that as well.
But the other thing, as we said, the problem is going to be though is for, you know, the ordinary, if you like, the Russian citizens who have made Spain their home, have left, you know, Russia, you know, have their kids in international schools, have bought property, you know, are part of the community here, and they're going to find themselves suddenly tied with the same brush, and you know, these sweeping sanctions that are brought in to stop the oligarchs are going to have it's going to be the little guys who have more of a day-to-day effect.
Yeah. Well, you know, we already saw in 2014 when Russia invaded, Crimea. The south bit of Ukraine, Crimea. The ruble took a tumble, and the sort of the middle class of Russia started suffering because, again, those are the ones who will suffer the first. Now they stopped buying in Spain quite in significant numbers. You used to see sort of average people buying 200,000, 300,000 euro properties, you know, well off people in Russia, middle class. When the Crimea crisis hit, the ruble lost about 20% of its value. They disappeared. So you would only get these sort of upper class, the richer Russians coming down to the coast. But there is a substantial amount of people. You know, there are a few thousands. I think the estimate is about 100,000. And, they're sort of scattered around Spain. In Barcelona, there is a very big community. Down in Sotogrande, there's a school, well-off, sort of elite school. And they have a lot of Russian children. Now, if they are getting money from Russia, that's going to dry up. very soon what's going to happen to that. So, you know, there are going to be repercussions, and we're going to see them very soon. And it's very saddening, you know, everything, not just obviously the loss of life, number one, of course, but what will come after that with people who don't want to be involved with what's going on there, which is absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And obviously, of course, with the sanctions against most of the EU space, but especially in Spain, has denied the rights for Spanish flights. So that's going to make anybody who was, you know, used to pop back to St. Petersburg or Moscow is going to make it a somewhat a round trip, I would think.
Well, exactly. I mean, you probably would have to go to the Middle East, maybe from there on to God knows, you know.
Indeed.
It's quite. Well, you know, it's. It's going to be very complicated. You know, I think unless this stops very soon, we're just going to see major changes. And this sort of this what's you know becoming this is becoming, in my opinion, a clash of civilizations almost. You know, two ways of seeing how to run a country, and you know that can be there for a long time unless this man resigns or is kicked out, but otherwise. I think for the most part, Spain and the rest of Europe will have to wave goodbye to Russian investors.
And again, it's going to have an impact because we're just coming back from the effects of the pandemic. Spain relies on investment from all sources with the aftermath of Brexit, and Spain has also been promoting to countries out rather than the traditional market of the UK as well. And that was one of the markets they were promoting with heavily as well. So it's going to be an interesting time all round.
Well, definitely. And, you know, we've had already a couple of calls from potential investors from Romania and from Lithuania. And I think they're starting to feel the heat. You know, what was before, a stagnant threat, a potential threat that, you know, nobody really believed would materialize has completely materialized in the worst possible way. Now, they are now thinking that their countries could be at risk. So I think we are seeing a bit of that as well. And, you know, where would they go? Well, the choice is limited. But, you know, West Europe would be where to go. So we've already seen that some moves, people who had already in mind probably investing somewhere, but they've already contacted us, you know. So that could be a trend happening very soon. It's quite sad, but even the Scandinavian countries, I mean, don't forget Norway and Finland, does have a border with Russia. Sweden doesn't, but of course, you know, it's just, you know, a few hundred kilometers away. Not to mention, you know, all the Baltic states and the Baltic countries,
yeah.
Poland, Bulgaria, Romania.
Well, Romania's got very good ties with Spain. I mean, traditionally, hasn't it? I mean, Romania is one of the largest expatriate communities are Romanians in Spain.
Exactly, you know, and but there is a reason now to be concerned, in my opinion. Now, how they view it there, I don't know. You know, we're obviously on the other side of Europe, but it's already, you know, disconcerting for us what's going on. Imagine people who are border with Ukraine or with Russia directly, you know. I mean, Poland has a border with Belarus. Belarus is obviously taken sides with Russia. And Poland is a completely, you know, totally integrated European Union country, as Western as any other Western country can be. So they would start obviously feeling the heat and the concern. I mean, I do hope, you know, this can somehow diffuse, but I'm not hopeful. You know, absolutely not. I don't know how you see it, but.
Well, exactly. We every day it seems to be changing, but it's a situation where we're not exactly sure of the outcome. We're just praying for a peaceful resolution to the whole thing. Antonio, I'm going to let you go. Anything else crossing? Have you got any? Do you want to leave us with a laugh? Perhaps have you got any good news coming out of the situation at the moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, we've only focused on this. This is so concerning for everyone. We are focusing to see what's going to happen next. We don't necessarily have too many, you know, Russian investors. We have just a handful, but we're seeing other law firms, other businesses that, you know, do have big reliance on that market. This is the main sort of a reason for concern for everyone to see what, you know, other repercussions can come out of this. But anyway, we just have to wait and see.
Antonio, if people want to get in touch with you about this or any other legal matter, where can they find you?
Okay, they can contact us on info@lawbird.com, or they can call us on 952-861-890.
I mean, I suppose the best thing you can do is get out on your bike and in the fresh air and enjoy the weather, to be honest with you, Antonio.
Absolutely, it's Stan Road. It's
Stan Road. Just watch out for talking about investment, but just watch out for the number of trucks that are currently working going up and down that road, my friend, because it's getting slightly interesting up there. So keep your wits about you, and I'll see you on the Stan Road. Antonio Flores from Lawbird, as always, great to speak to you.
Thanks very much.